operating under a big time crunch here, and just to make it a little quicker for you, I did send a letter to Speaker Katz a few days ago, which you now have a copy of. And in the letter, I outlined a little bit about my background. I outlined the fact that this bill in the area of mental illness has tremendous potential in terms of stigmatizing a whole group of mentally ill people who are not dangerous, never have been dangerous, and probably never will be dangerous. So the issue of stigma is extremely important, and it comes at a time when, as you know, the state of Oregon and most states nationally are trying to push for deinstitutionalization, and reinforcing the stereotype of dangerous mental illness is something that I think we should be very, very careful about. I gave you a one-paragraph review of the psychiatric literature on the dangerousness of mental patients, and basically what it says is that since the mental hospitals have been virtually, since the populations of the mental hospitals have gone down dramatically, there now exists in society a group of people who have a history of both mental illness and dangerous behavior, but to see all mentally ill people, or potentially all mentally ill people, under this framework is, I think, a major problem.
Can I ask a quick question on
sure.
that?
Sure.
Please, Representative Mannix.
What do we do with the prior commitments? Let's say we just adopt your proposal and say from now on, whenever a judge makes a commitment, he has to say this person should not be able to have a gun.
Yes.
But we've got prior commitments where these determinations were never made. Should we just say, well, for the past, we're going to have an assumption that the prior commitment was a no-gun commitment, but the person can overcome that, but for the future, we'll have this clear record? Do you have a suggestion
well,
on that?
Well, I mean, my suggestion would be to start with the present and build your cases forward rather than applying it retrospectively to a very large group of people, as I've outlined in the letter. So, I mean, but what you're proposing is certainly reasonable. You eventually, if you put everybody in it in the past, and I think you have to really look at your 10-year limit. I don't know why you have 10 years for someone on a civil side and 4 years for someone who's got a dangerous misdemeanor, but I think either way, but I think to get, well, let me just move to that
sure.
section.
All right.
For Section 2, which I gather is now Section 3, what we're proposing is that the trial court judge, in addition to determining whether the person meets commitment standards, makes a finding regarding purchase of a gun. And that can be done, instead of doing it as you're proposing to do it now, which is on this vague finding of dangerousness, and what I tried to outline for you is that is a very, very loose finding in many places. And we've done a lot of research over the years here to show that people are committed at different rates from different counties, different judges apply it differently, different investigators apply it differently. I also tried to tell you that for at least 3 years, maybe a little bit longer, the major state hospital treating the mentally ill in this state, Damish, has been closed to voluntary people. So we have a whole group of people who would have been in the hospital voluntarily who are now in involuntarily because it's the only way they could get in. So what I'm suggesting here is that the trial court judge, in addition to the commitment determination, makes a determination regarding the purchase of a gun. And that would be based on some findings in the hearing. Now, you're going to hear cases where somebody has pushed somebody. That's dangerous. You're going to hear cases where somebody has threatened somebody vaguely. That's dangerousness. That's all okay for civil commitment. And you're going to hear cases where somebody's taken a knife to somebody else. That's dangerousness. And so I think the trial court judge is in a perfect position to make that determination, and you have a finding that means something rather than a general categorization of an entire group of people. In your other section, you want me to move on or stop there?
Let's get on that section real quickly. Now, what I think you're saying your concern is that we're going completely off of the person's status as made by their psychologist, and that the judge should also play a bigger role in this first prong of the decision, or this decision being made. Is that
well,
basically
I say,
your
in
gist,
Section 3 of your bill, you're recommending that all people who have been civilly committed not be allowed to purchase a gun for 10 years. And what I'm trying to say is the finding of civil commitment and the association of civil commitment with dangerousness is very vague and very loose, applied unevenly, and means anything from a push or, in some cases, a minor threat to an actual attack with a weapon. And what I'm saying is the trial court judge who hears the case and then finally decides, yes, I'm going to commit this person meets the criteria or doesn't, is also in the perfect position to say, based on the evidence I heard in this case, this person shouldn't possess a gun.
For the future.
For the future.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
Dr. Bloom, in the current bill, I think we knew we were doing things sort of clumsily, and we provided for an appeals procedure. Would your proposed process, in your mind, any reason that we shouldn't allow someone to appeal that finding, that judicial finding, at some point in the future? They come back later on, and if I understand what you're saying, at the time of the commitment, the judge says, not only is this person committed, but in my view, this person should not own a gun for 10 years or whatever. And the person is committed and gets out later on, goes to apply for a gun, pops up on the screen, sorry, the judge said no. Is there anything offensive in our notion of an appeal procedure at that point?
Well, I think I'm not an attorney, but I think you're going to have findings made by different judges differently. And some are going to be weak findings. And I would gather that you're going to need some appeals process, even with a judge may decide that everyone who's committed shouldn't have a gun. So I think you'll cut down the number of cases that you potentially could have dramatically, but I guess my hunch would be that some appeals process is necessary, but the number of cases should be fewer.
Mr. Chair, follow-up question. And, Doctor, what would you do? What would you have us do with that whole population that has already been committed?
Well, that was the question Representative Mannix
asked
me. I think that my view of it would be to go forward from the time you make this bill law. If you, I guess my recommendation would be if you feel compelled to deal with that population, I certainly think that they ought to be dealt with less severely than they are dealt with in the current legislation. And eventually they'll, in other words, less time. I don't know why the 10 years. It doesn't make clear sense to me why 10 years for one group and 4 years for another group.
May I interrupt? If Representative Clark has finished with his question. As a follow-up to that, let me throw out an idea. We're trying to be a little bit more action-oriented here, so I'm going to start throwing out ideas. One is to say, look, okay, we've got some judicial commitments out there. We can't go back and redo them. We're not going to read through thousands of commitment records to try to figure out what they say. There is an override provision where you can come into court and say, hey, look, despite this, I'm okay. Just say, all right, we'll cast the net back 4 years prior to the effective date of this act and just say that for those 4 years, those people, if they do want to get a gun permit, are going to have to go through the hassle over the next 4 years of going into court to or whenever, to clear the air as far as what that commitment was all about. But from the day the act goes into effect forward, that judges will make that determination, will have to make that determination on each commitment. And having made that determination, that stays with you, just like a felony conviction. That is, the judge's determination was made. You can always challenge that. It's a civil determination. You can challenge that through civil process, except for the psychiatric the not guilty for reasons of insanity thing, which we can deal with separately. But just say, all right, from now on, there's not going to be any stigma here. The judge will have to make an affirmative finding. It's sort of splitting the baby, but I don't know how else to try to come up with some way of saying, you know, I'm not going to say anybody who's been committed during the past 4 years can get a gun, but I have no way of ferreting out the people who might have been disqualified.
Yes,
what do you think about that?
Well, I certainly understand what you're trying to accomplish. I think, personally, I would favor it based on a firm finding. But I understand what you're saying, and I think what you're saying is a rational approach to it. I mean, I think you're going to cast the net too far. I think you're going to put people in there who shouldn't be in there. but I see what you're trying to accomplish. You are making the assumption, and the assumption, and when I talk about stigma, the assumption is implicit in here that someone who's been civilly committed for a mental illness is more dangerous than someone who's committed a violent misdemeanor.
No, if we limit it to 4 years, we're putting them in the same package right now.
So
that's why I suggested 4 years.
You'd cut from 10 years to 4 years. 4 years from the time of commitment.
We're at 10 years on the commitment.
No, that's why I'm throwing out the idea of changing this to say, as of the date of enactment of this act, we freeze things and say for the prior 4 years, we'll have to rely on whatever there was in terms of civil commitments. 86, 87, 88, 89, and then part of previous. In other words, 4 years up to the date of passage, those commitments for those 4 years are frozen, locked in as you're going to have to come forward and get yourselves out of this if you don't want to be covered. But from the date of passage of the Act forward, we are, effective date of the Act forward, we're going to have judges making these findings. And over time, then, those findings are what are going to be what counts. The 4 years group is just there because there is no other way we could go back in time. And in effect, we're analogizing it to the prior misdemeanor for a crime involving violence people. But we're not going to use the 4 years any further. It's not going to be used in the future, only up to the as of the effective date of the Act. So it's a group that gets locked in, but can the key to getting out is just they can file a petition and get out of this prohibition. Let's say the Act becomes effective September 1, 1989. We would say for the 4 years prior to September 1, 1989, any civil commitment will act as a bar. But you can go through this other process to challenge that. But then from September 1, 1989 onwards, you rely only on the judge's determination that the person should not have a gun, so that none of those people, civil commitments will not, after that date, automatically carry a four-year prohibition. It's only the old civil commitments that do, because we have no other way of figuring out how to deal with it, simply at least.
Chair, Representative Maness, if I could also refresh the committee's memory on some of this. The committee spent some time, the last time we addressed this issue, looking at the issue of whether or not it was worthy to make a differentiation between commitment for the purposes of dangerousness versus commitment for the purposes of being unable to care for themselves or others. And the committee at that time chose to say that there were legitimate reasons for both types of individuals to not be allowed to carry a gun, to have a gun, and that it was not specifically dependent on the issue of dangerousness to self or others that the committee was making its decision.
And I would, and in throwing out this idea, I still wouldn't make that distinction, because the judge, for his own reasons, may not have, but for the future, the judge will have another box to check, which is, in my view, based on the evidence presented, this person should not be allowed to have a gun, or this person may be allowed to have a gun. And you check one box or the other, and that tells you for all time, and unless there's a further judicial determination, that that person shouldn't have a gun. It's splitting the baby, but I'm trying to think of some way of dealing with it, because I think you've got some legitimate concerns about undue stigmatization, but we have legitimate concerns, because I could see us not going back 4 years, and the day after the Act becomes effective, somebody who was dangerous and was committed in 1988 will go out and get a handgun through this process, and all of a sudden the legitimacy of the process is thrown into doubt because they go out and they commit some violent act. That's the other side of the coin. How do you folks think about that?
Mr. Chairman, may I respond to that?
Question.
Once on the list, the people who you go back 4 years, do they ever get off the list?
I guess it would only last for 4 years. People, you know, after four, we could say 4 years after, in fact, make it clean, just say 4 years after the effective date of the Act, that list is no longer applicable.
They're going to be off the list anyway because it's 4 years, so.
We could work out a formula that says they only carry for 4 years from the date of a civil commitment.
President Maness, can you state your amendment conceptually?
All right.
Please.
I would propose that we say that as of the effective date of the Act, we will go back 4 years and say anyone who has had a civil commitment in effect during the 4 years before the effective date of the Act is prohibited from purchasing a handgun under this Act. then
carrying it
or carrying a concealed weapon. Then, from the effective date of the act onward, there will be a dropping off. That is, it will be from the effective date of the act onward, we'll be going back only 4 years. So, and again, I'm just trying to conceptualize this. So in September 1990, someone who last had a commitment in 4 years would be September of 86, say in August of 86, would no longer have the four-year prohibition in effect. It's a rolling drop-off. We've just locked in all commitments for the prior 4 years, and anyone who had those commitments carries this prohibition for 4 calendar years from their commitment. That's the first part. Second part is, with the effective date of this act, any judge who imposes enters an order of civil commitment will have to indicate on that order whether or not the person is, I'll call it for simplicity, handgun safe or not, or gun safe or not gun safe. If the judge notes not gun safe, that becomes a prohibition against the person purchasing a handgun or getting a concealed weapons permit, and it remains in effect just like, I'll say, a felony conviction, unless there's been some civil process to overturn that judge's decision, or unless there's a later rehabilitation decision, just as there's
an appeal.
You lost me.
Back up. You just lost counsel.
All right. The judge would enter, at the time of commitment, the judge would note gun safe or not gun safe, for simplicity's sake. If he says not gun safe, that can be overturned on appeal of that commitment.
That's not where you lost me.
Okay. If he enters gun safe, that's fine, no problem. There'll be a registry of these not gun safe entries kept, and those not gun safe entries remain in effect for the life of the person against whom that entry was made. And then again, I just mentioned parenthetically, we already have a provision though that anybody can go to court sometime in the future and show that they're in effect rehabilitated, whether it be in terms of a criminal conviction or whether or not an entry of not gun safe. You come in and you establish, hey, look, that was 5 years ago. I'm okay now. If a judge so determines, then you're off the registry.
Counsel, make sense to you?
Mr. Chairman, may I have one response on that?
Let's put it this way. I can draft it.
Comment from Representative Clark.
Go ahead, Dr. Bloom.
I don't see a clear reason for... These are civil patients. They're not convicted of any crime for making a longer term than for your misdemeanor group. I mean, I think that's something that comes from our idea that these people are more dangerous.
But if the judge just made that notation, I'm willing to rely on that notation for the rest of that person's life unless some other judge hears the matter and says, no, I'm going to change that. There is a process, we've just been gone through it for 2 hours, about how you can challenge and get, in effect, rehabilitated. But that having a positive act by a judge saying you shouldn't have a gun, I don't want to overturn that unless some judge in the future says, oh, yes, you should. That's different from a misdemeanor conviction, which may not address guns at all.
Comments from the committee on this?
Mr. Chair.
Counsel first, and Representative Clark.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mannix, is it your intent that the concept of gun safe or not gun safe, or that determination would be that the judge would be looking at language that's similar in the bill to what, I mean, in two or three places we've talked about past patterns of behavior and incidences and blah, blah, blah.
Yes, we would want to define that along the same pattern of behavior, just so the judge has some guidelines and isn't just making some ethereal statement.
But it's your intent that same standard, for lack of a better word at this point, would be used? I mean, because we'd have to go in and amend the civil commitment statutes in order to do this.
Yes.
Okay.
I need to know.
Mr.
Chair.
Mr. Clark.
I'm real comfortable with the process that we're setting up from here on out in terms of a judge making the determination up front at the same time as she makes the civil commitment. That makes a whole lot of sense to me, and I appreciate Dr. Bloom bringing that idea to us. Let me tell you where my concern is. My concern has to do with what I view as a relatively short period of time that we're getting ready to pass that being the 4 years, either for a misdemeanor or a misdemeanant or for somebody who has been committed. And I guess I want to throw out an argument not to lose the forest for the trees. The whole purpose of the bill that's been brought in front of us is to try and make it tougher for criminals and people who, for reasons of mental illness, should not own guns, whoever those people are, from getting guns. I mean, that's the purpose of the bill. And as long as we have an appeals procedure in there, I don't mind stating as a public policy, for a period of time longer than 4 years even, that there is what I'll call a precaution. I don't want to call it a presumption, but I'm going to call it a precaution. The yellow light is going to go on, and we're going to say to this person, if you want the gun, then we're going to kick you into an appeal. That's all we're saying. We're not saying you can't have it. We're simply saying something has happened in the past that gives us as a society a right to be concerned here. And we're going to be concerned for, I think, longer than 4 years. And I'm perfectly comfortable saying that a violent misdemeanant should come up on the screen for longer than 4 years. If it's the disparity argument that Dr. Bloom is raising, then I'm perfectly comfortable with saying we're going to treat these folks alike. I'm nervous about having the precaution in effect for as little a period of time as 4 years for either class of people.
Okay. Does the Speaker's office have any comments on what we're doing here? Or it's 4:10? Don't worry, be happy. Representative Mannix, do you want to modify your motion or stick to your former motion?
Dr. Bloom's reaction to my comment there is your concern that treating a misdemeanor differently than someone who's been committed creates a stigmatization, or is it that 10 years is too long either for a misdemeanor or for someone who's been committed?
I think my concern, Representative Clark, would be both. I think this determination should be based on some data as to who we're looking for and who we're trying to have on this list. I think we've got to constantly keep in mind that we have a stereotype of mentally ill people as dangerous people. Now, you get on this list, we've been doing research in relation to the guilty except for insanity plea since its beginning. There are 1,100 people who've been through that process at this point. We're in the middle of we're in the end of the second year of a third year NIMH grant, National Institute of Mental Health grant, in which we're collecting the criminal justice histories and the mental health histories of a lot of those people. And we see a large overlap. And I think by focusing on felons, objective criteria of past felonies, past misdemeanors, something reasonable in civil commitment, you're going to get a large group of the people you want to get. And I just don't want to see, I think it would be, that's what we should try and do. People who have a dangerous history, and I think these people will turn up in several different ways in the system, both through the criminal justice records and the mental health records. But for a person who has a single episode of a mental illness, even with some dangerousness in there, they may never have another episode. And they're on a list that they're on.
But is there any, Mr. Chair, if I could follow.
Please.
I think I would share your concern 100% if we were saying that these people can't own guns, period. But all we're saying is that that's going to trigger this yellow light, at which point we're going to ask a judge to get in and look at the situation. That's the process we've set up. We haven't set up a process whereby somebody can't own a gun under those circumstances. Simply saying that we're going to balance their right to own a gun, A, and B, to be treated like everybody else. We're going to balance that with our very real need to try and get a handle on who it is that's owning guns, and try to make sure that the people who we don't want to have guns don't get guns. And there's that balance there, and I think that's why we created this appeals process, to try and say, with all due apologies, Mr. Jones, we're going to ask you to go talk to a judge about whether you ought to be having a gun. And that's difficult, and nobody particularly likes that, but that's the balance we're trying to strike here, and we strike those same kind of constitutional balances all the time in dealing with social problems. So
I guess all I'm saying is if you set up a net based on some kind of objective criteria, a judge's decision at one time, past histories of felonies or misdemeanors, you're going to find a lot of people. Now, when we come to Section 5, I think you've got a substantial problem here of who gets committed. Mostly who gets committed are poor people in this state. Mostly who gets committed are poor people who can't go voluntarily to our state institutions. We've got tremendous problems there. We have people of equal mental disorders who are in non-state hospitals, go involuntarily, and are never committed. And they're not on anyone's list.
Mr. Chairman?
Let me say something.
So,
let me do something, because this one's... Not for lack of interest. Does Representative Mannix's amendment pretty well satisfy your concern? The one he proposed with the 4 years?
Well, it's definitely in line with what I'm talking about.
So there's a four-year back window, basically. And
on
then
any civil commitment.
Open-ended front window, but based on a finding by the judge that they're doing this. Now, Bill Linden's not here, so
may I add to this explanation?
Representative Mannix.
The main reason is that we don't have $250,000 or $500,000 to conduct a survey of all the commitments during the last 4 years, and knowing that maybe only 1% of those people may want to apply for a handgun concealed weapons permit or seek to purchase a handgun, go out and re-examine each of the commitments and try to make a determination. So we've got to make some decision to say, on the face of it, you are excluded. I think we need to add quickly, though, that there's some language that needs to be clarified, and it would just be my general statement here, as to this petition process, because some people may read the petition process to mean you have to wait 4 years to tell the judge, hey, I'm okay. I'd want to make it clear that it's my intention that a person could come in the day after this act comes into effect and say that commitment 6 months ago, a year ago, really shouldn't invalidate my having a handgun, and I'd like to have the judge review it. And we may want to make it clear that this petition process can occur at any time. You don't have... These people are not off the list, not prohibited for 4 years automatically. They can come in right away and petition and say, this was wrong, it shouldn't stigmatize me, in effect.
Part of the conceptual amendment.
Well,
Representative Clark could...
I want to hold that issue till we get to sec.
It relates to a section we already did earlier this evening, which has to do with the petition process. I just want it to be clear, some language in there, that when we're talking about one of these commitments during the past 4 years, as of the effective date of this act, mm-hmm. that a person is not invalidated automatically. That's simply a caution that absent them coming forward and petitioning, they can't get a gun.
Let's make that part of the amendment, and we'll deal with it again when we come to it, part of the proposed amendment. Council, will that work?
Well, now I'm really confused.
It's not like the conviction for a misdemeanor during the past 4 years.
Dealing with the laundry list of prohibited persons, or are we dealing with Section 5?
Both. We're going to have to say a person is prohibited unless they have, well, actually, when you do that laundry list, unless they have convinced the court, and I think we have an exemption in there already.
My recommendation that we deal with the laundry list first, clarify the language that we want in the laundry list first, then look at Section 5 and deal with the...
Laundry list says 4 years of civil commitment.
Otherwise, it won't work.
4 years of civil commitment. And by the way, we left out having been convicted of a misdemeanor involving violence, except for insanity. We did it for a felony, but we didn't do it for misdemeanor involving violence, where you're not guilty except for insanity. A little minor point there. That's separate from my amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, let's... if we can figure out what the amendment is, or counsel can, we'll have her restate the amendment. Representative Clark,
going back to 4 years.
Can we be okay on this amendment, or are we going to have to... Do we need to do some juggling, do you think?
I mean, if you're asking my view, I'm comfortable with the framework. I'm comfortable with the procedure. I'm just not comfortable with the time.
You want more? Less?
Yes, more.
4 years back?
You want to go back 10 years?
I don't have to go back 10 years, but I just... You know, and I'm not a professional, so I don't know what...
How would 6 years strike everybody?
Well, I'm not in favor of this. So, I think that you would find, I don't think you need to do this, but that's my opinion.
Choose going once, going twice.
Sold.
Can we do the 6 years? Council,
no,
can we...
No, let me go back to something. We are dealing with, just so that I'm clear, page 9, lines 17 and 18, and page...
And our, for the record, our rationalization is 6 is longer than 4 and shorter than 10.
Good legislative record. And
I think we could get some disputes about that.
And page 15, lines 1 and 2. And what the committee is doing, if I am tracking this correctly, is saying has not been committed to the mental health division within the previous 10 years.
Six.
For the previous 6 years prior to the enactment of
the effective
act,
date effective of the
date,
act.
And I'll figure out how to write it, or after a finding that they are gun safe, because this is written in the negative, after the enactment of this date as part of the commitment procedure.
I think there should be two separate sections, though, so people won't get confused.
I don't disagree, but